I'm Manny Pacheco, and welcome to a very personal hour of Forgotten Hollywood. I've created an award-winning book series I'd like you to purchase and read that shares America's story through the eyes of actors from Hollywood's golden age. And Joe Lyons will contribute his On the Backlot report. Since this is my 75th episode of Forgotten Hollywood, I thought it was time to offer my own life story with relationship to standards in movie music. The tapestry of selections is obviously unique for anyone who would take on such an exercise. In the past, we were able to share the audio narrative about my former co-host, Mr. Gary Lycan, who sadly passed on in 2013. I thought maybe I should tell my tale in song and narration for you to enjoy. Thank you in advance for this personal indulgence. I was born in Boyle Heights in 1957. Raised a Catholic, I spent my early formative years at Our Lady of Guadalupe in East Los Angeles. It was there I made my stage debut, and with a clarinet in hand, I performed Frank Sinatra's Strangers in the Night. I can't remember if I did a worthy job, but my parents were proud. This is Forgotten Hollywood.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting, something in your smile was so exciting. Something in my heart told me I must have you. Strangers in the night, two lonely people, we were strangers in the night. Up to the moment when we said our first hello, little did we know. Love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. And ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right, for strangers in the night. Was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. Ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right, for strangers in the night.
Manny Pacheco here, and I'm capturing my own personal relationship with forgotten Hollywood. In 1968, my family moved to Sherman Oaks. 5 years later, as a sophomore at Van Nuys Junior High, I was cast in the lead for a production of Oliver. My competition was a dear friend, actor Vince Van Patten. My voice had not changed, but I made my singing debut in the play. Forgotten Hollywood travels to a small theater in the San Fernando Valley. Growing up and over the years, I've enjoyed live stage performances from Lauren Bacall, Davy Jones, Van Johnson, Angela Lansbury, Rex Harrison, Charlton Heston, Martin Short, Glenn Close, Jason Alexander, among others, in great Broadway-style productions.
And now, back to Forgotten Hollywood.
Now look, what do you want? Now look, I mean, after all, if I'm the head of the sport department, I gotta know the baseball players' names.
Oh.
I mean, and I gotta know the teams that's playing and everything
else.
Well,
naturally, Alan.
There's one team that's playing here this week. Do you know the guys' names?
Oh, sure.
Then you go ahead and tell me some of their names.
Well, I'll introduce you to the boys. You know, strange it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
Give me funny names.
Nicknames, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
Butter Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their cousin.
Who are you?
Goofy.
Goofy, huh? Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the fellow that knows all the players?
I certainly.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
Now, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you who is on first.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a contract with the first baseman?
Absolutely.
Who signed the contract?
Well, naturally. No good unless he signs it.
It's no good unless who signs it?
No.
So who signed it?
Absolutely.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Absolutely. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Don't twitch him around. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not talking.
Now, how did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Never mind first. I want to know what's the guy's name on third.
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go. Third.
Well, I can't change that name.
Will you please stay on third base and don't go off it?
What is it you
now,
want?
Now, who's playing third base?
Now, why do you insist on putting who on third base?
Now, who am I putting over there?
Yes, but we don't want him there.
What's the guy's name belongs on
now,
third?
What belongs on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got an outfield?
Oh, yes, yes.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
All right, then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing
Stay
first?
Stay out of the infield.
Don't mention that name.
I want to know what's the left fielder's name.
What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base. Yes. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. As well as I do.
Look, you got a pitcher on a team?
Now, wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now, listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first.
Go ahead, have it your own.
I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got a catcher?
Well, absolutely.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the
team.
Well,
I can't help that.
You know, I'm a catcher, too.
I know that.
Now I'll get behind the plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and the heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Tomorrow throws the ball, the guy up busts the ball. When he busts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'll throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to catch it. Now, who caught it?
Naturally.
Who caught it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yes.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No. You throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's right. Now we're talking.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
You don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying it that way.
I said I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well, say that.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's
same as you. I throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
Who has it?
Naturally.
He better have it.
Now, that's it.
Now, I throw the ball, and naturally, whoever it is drops the ball, so the guy runs a second. Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up, and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn.
What was that?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
It is.
Oh, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd wash the dishes and scrub the pans, cook the yams and spice the hams, and though her parents would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. And so it piled up to the ceilings, coffee grounds, potato peelings, brown bananas and rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the windows and blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones, drippy ends of ice cream cones, prune pits, peach pits, orange peel, gloppy glumps of cold oatmeal, pizza crust, withered greens, soggy beans and tangerines, crusts of Blackburn butter toast, grizzly bits of beefy roast. The garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof. It broke the walls. I mean, greasy napkins, cookie crumbs, blobs of gooey bubble gum, cellophane from old bologna, rubbery blubbery macaroni, peanut butter cake and dry curdled milk and crust of pie, rotting melons, dried up mustard, eggshells mixed with lemon custard, cold french fries and rancid meat, yellow lumps of cream of wheat. At last, the garbage reached so high that finally it touched the sky, and none of her friends would come to play, and all the neighbors moved away, and finally Sarah Cynthia Stout said, "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached across the state from New York to the Golden Gate. And there, in the garbage, she did hate. Was Sarah met an awful fate that I cannot right now relate, because the hour is much too late. But children, remember Sarah Stout, and always take the garbage out.
Manny Pacheco on Forgotten Hollywood, telling my undeniably singular story that I call my life. At Van Nuys High, I was voted the best senior speaker after winning gobs of trophies for my school while performing comedic routines from Abbott and Costello and authors Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss. After graduating from UCLA, I was hired and continued to work in Southern California radio for over three decades. Yet it would be 30 years before I returned to the live stage, which I did in 2003 in Los Alamitos, when I was cast in the lead of Meredith Willson's The Music Man. As Professor Harold Hill, I got to enjoy the role made famous by a personal idol, Robert Preston. Forgotten Hollywood visits River City, Iowa.
Well, either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help you cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a bop-line game, I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit and listening to some big out-of-town Jasper hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch? Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got one, two, three, four, five, six pockets in a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. I say your young men will be frittering. Frittering away there noontime, supper time, chore time too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting dandelions pulled or the screen door patched or the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt-tail young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm gonna be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They were trying out Bevo, trying out Cubats, trying out TaylorMades like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're gonna come. cover up a telltale breath with sense, and one fine night, they leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the armory. Libertine men and scarlet women and ragtime. Shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of a jungle. Animal instinct, masteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Oh, we got trouble!
Right here in River City.
Right here in River City.
With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
That stands for pool.
We've surely got trouble.
We sure got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here.
Gotta figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school.
Our children gonna have trouble.
Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Captain Billy's whiz bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha! And so's your old man. Well, if so, my friends, trouble.
Oh, we got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here in River City.
With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
That stands for pool.
We've surely got trouble.
We've surely got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here.
Remember the Maine, Plymouth Rock, and the Golden Rule.
Our children's children gonna have trouble.
Oh, we got trouble. We're in terrible, terrible trouble. That game with the 15 numbered balls is the devil's tool.
Devil's tool.
Oh, yes, we got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Oh, yes, we got trouble. We got big, big trouble.
With a T.
With a capital T.
Gary, Indiana.
What a wonderful name.
Named for Albert Gary of judiciary fame. Gary, Indiana, as a Shakespeare would say, trips along softly on the tongue this way. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. Let me say it once again. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. That's the town that knew me when. Now if you'd like to have a logical explanation how I happened on this elegant syncopation, I will say without a moment of hesitation, there is just one place that can light my face. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. Not Louisiana, Paris, France, New York, or Rome, but Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana, Gary, Gary, Indiana, Indiana.
My home, sweet home.
Forgotten Hollywood is engaging in a litany of fine standards that share my story. I'm Manny Pacheco. During my stint at KRLA, I was hired by NBC Television as a consultant to provide oldies that would be the background in the drama created by the daytime soap opera Santa Barbara. I was also hired to do some voiceover work on the program. This opportunity gave the show a different flair from any other daytime television at the time. One real treat, hosting the annual fan club parties. The actors got to meet viewers from all over the country in a big shebang. In fact, I spent a memorable birthday at one of these festivities. This was a great experience for me. Forgotten Hollywood returns to the day I turned 30 years of age.
Who do you love? I wanna know, I wanna know. Who do you love? I wanna know, I wanna know.
Where did you go when you kissed me goodnight? You didn't walk home the same way you did.
Who do you love?
I'll play recent selections that influence, well, a life well lived. Manny Pacheco here. Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History, and Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History shares Americana through the eyes of actors who appear under the titles of such iconic movies such as The Wizard of Oz.
That's a horse of a different color. Come on in.
Casablanca.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
And It's a Wonderful Life.
A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History was recently a 2013 gold medal recipient from the Reader's Favorite Book Awards, complete with a star-studded ceremony in Miami. You can purchase the entire Forgotten Hollywood book series on Amazon and at independent bookstores, and you can download the first paperback to your virtual library as an ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Apple. The Forgotten Hollywood book series is a perfect gift. I invite you to visit ForgottenHollywood.com and pick up a copy of these books today. This is Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco. And as Ralph Edwards used to say, this is my life.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My.
Thank you. gold finger. He's the man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch. Such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. You feel for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her. It's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He loves only gold. Only gold. He loves.
Today we're celebrating the 75th episode of Forgotten Hollywood. I thought it'd be fun to play some of my favorite music and routines from cinema, Broadway, and impeccable standards that have shaped my life. A favorite pastime of mine for almost two decades is karaoke. I've had the pleasure of interpreting Sinatra, Cab Calloway, among others, in local contests throughout Southern California. It earned me surprising accolades from singers and performers in venues from all over the state and even in Nevada. The two original favorites that have served me well are included this afternoon on Forgotten Hollywood.
Folks, here's a story about Benita Mucho. She was the low-down hoochie-coochie. She was the roughest and the toughest frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale.
Hi-di-hi-di-hi.
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 Ouvrez la fenêtre,
j'ai-ou-sac.
Ouvrez la fenêtre, j'ai-ou-sac.
She messed around with the King of Sweden. He gave her every little thing that she needed. He gave her $1 million in nickels and dimes. She sat around and counted them a million times. Howdy, 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 howdy. Howdy, howdy,
howdy, howdy, howdy, howdy.
Heedy,
heedy. Heedy,
heedy. Drosti, svinje.
Drosti, svinje.
Easty, tis, svinje.
Easty, tis, svinje.
Light us all low, all lucky down.
Light us all low, all lucky down.
Ilya Oto Isa.
Ilya Oto Isa.
Ole ole.
Ole ole.
Ole ole ole.
Ole ole ole.
He he.
He he.
But they don't.
you people, they were the devil's children. Bonnie and Clyde began their evil doing one lazy afternoon down Savannah way. They robbed a store and hightailed out of that town. Got clean away in a stolen car. Advanced their reputation and made the graduation into the banking business. Reach for the sky, sweet talking Clyde would holler as Bonnie loaded dollars in the jewel bag. Now one brave man, he tried to take them alone. They left him lying in a pool of blood and laughed about it. To be public enemy number one, running and hiding from every American lawman's gun. They used to laugh about dying, but deep inside them they knew that pretty soon they'd be lying beneath the ground together, pushing up there just to welcome the sun and the morning dew. Reliable information, a federal deputation laid a deadly ambush. When Bonnie and Clyde came walking in the sunshine, a half a dozen carbines opened up on them. Bonnie and Clyde, they lived a lot together, and finally together, they died.
Hi, I'm Joe Lyons, and welcome to this week's visit to On the Backlot. If you study early American poetry, you may know the works of things like The Cremation of Sam McGee and The Face on the Barroom Floor. Well, on the backlots, they talk about The Face on the Cutting Room Floor. That refers to people and performances that didn't make the final edit of a movie. We may like to think that a film is a complete story in itself, and anything that wasn't in it didn't need to be in it. But the fact is, a lot of effort goes into things we never see. Did you know, for example, that it took 10 days just to shoot the 11 minutes of the chariot race in Ben-Hur? Over these 10 days, they shot a lot of action that probably sits in storage somewhere in Hollywood today. And there's the story of The Jitterbug. The Jitterbug was a musical number that got cut from the MGM classic The Wizard of Oz. Movies like Ridley Scott's Blade Runner seemed to never be finished. For a while, it looked like he was putting out a new version every 5 years, and some people thought what was the ending really wasn't. Francis Ford Coppola did a number of cuts on The Godfather, including a TV miniseries version that put the two halves of Godfather 2 around the original Godfather like some kind of a sandwich. One cut that I saw even showed a young Hyman Roth, the Lee Strasberg character, as a young man working in Vito Corleone's olive oil company. Spielberg did the same thing with Close Encounters of the Third Kind. There are two or three versions. In fact, you can go back to the original King Kong, which was okay at the time, about the giant ape pulling a girl's dress off and squashing a slow native. There are a number of reasons for some of these things. For example, when movies began to add more adult content and language, they knew they would have to have a separate TV version, so they cut out some of the language and some of the racier scenes. Sometimes the movies couldn't air on TV because they were too long or too short. So they'd add or delete stuff as they had to on films like Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles. Sometimes they even dragged out the excuse of artistic considerations. Today, the leftover film makes money for the production companies. You already know that the DV release of a film you wanted to see will have extended and deleted scenes and alternate endings. I own a copy of James Cameron's Titanic that bills itself as the alternate ending edition. The ship still sinks, but Old Rose shows the diamond to the salvage crew before she tosses it. Some of these DVD editions even changed the rating of the film. Billy Bob Thornton's Bad Santa became Batter Santa in one edition. And the extended versions of the three Lord of the Rings movies have at least an extra 2 hours added on, as if those weren't long in the first place. So, Manny and Steve, you may understand why many people don't go out to the theaters anymore. They know that in 6 more months, there'll be a bigger, better, and yes, even badder version to watch on their 60-inch big screens in the comfort of their living room. Maybe I should move from the back lot to the driveway.
Thank you, Joe Lyons, for being part of Forgotten Hollywood and sharing your latest on the Backlot Report. And to our producer, Steve Guzman, you have been here for all 75 shows. I offer a most sincere thanks. Join us next week for another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. And remember, let's never forget. I'm Manny Pacheco.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'or, tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, l'a juré pour la vie. Des nuits d'amour à plus finir, un grand bonheur qui prend sa place, des ennuis, des chagrins s'effacent, heureux, heureux, en mourir. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est toi pour moi, moi pour toi dans la vie. Tu me l'as dit, pas juré pour la vie. Alors je sens dans moi mon cœur qui bat.
Thank you.
Thank you.